It's a very memorable gospel. I think I could get any one of you started on it and you could finish it, you know? It's a memorable gospel, and it's a very beautiful gospel. And it's a glimpse not only into a moment in Simon Peter's life, but really ours as well. And it does a great job of explaining to us how God often engages us and draws us more deeply into the work that he has for us. I think all of us have had certain times in our life when maybe something kind of went off like a bomb, or our whole world was rocked, and it opened different opportunities for us or what have you. But generally, my brothers and sisters, the way God works is very gently leading us by stages into the work that he has for us. And that's beautifully illustrated here in Peter's call. And you see it in stages. So as I go through Simon Peter's experience here, I'd encourage you to do the same. You know, we should apply it to our own lives. If you want a kind of a visual picture, you notice that it begins at shore and then goes into deeper waters and a deeper call. And then finally, Peter falls to his knees, and yet in a moment of being humbled, the Lord raises him up higher. So, if you will, that idea of going into the deeper waters is a picture today to keep in mind, to understand this gospel. But the gospel begins at shore. And I'd like to just perhaps, if you will, look at Peter's journey in four stages and apply it to us. And the first stage is, stage one is just the help that isn't hard. The help that isn't hard. The Lord makes a very simple request of Peter. In effect, I need to get off shore some yards and so I can preach to this crowd. Could I borrow your boat? Could I borrow your boat? Peter says, sure, I'm not using it now and I've got it. And sure, you go ahead, make use of it. A very simple request. Very, in a way, harmless. And yet, in this moment, the Lord engages Peter and starts to set up a relationship with him. Maybe this is the first time they've met. Maybe they've met before, but now comes a moment where a simple request. Now, first of all, isn't this interesting? And think about yourself for a moment. Isn't it remarkable to consider that the Lord, the King of the whole universe, needs help? And yet that's the way God has set it up. St. Augustine says that he who made you without you will not save you without you. The Lord, in a way, I'm putting this in quotes, but he needs our help. He needs our help to reach our own heart, but also he needs our help to reach others. Something of his saving plan depends on you and me and Simon Peter. Now that's our dignity. It's also our responsibility, but just start with the fact that that's our dignity. And there's something quite remarkable about it. God, who could do everything without any interaction with us, still says, no, I need your help. And he seeks to enter into a kind of a relationship, a partnership with us in this work of preaching the gospel. And so we see that as this gospel unfolds, a very small, a simple request, the help that isn't hard. Now, in all of our lives, there are any number of little things that the Lord just needs for us to do. They're not hard. Just a little helping hand. And so it is that I don't know what that is in your life, but they're just those little things. Maybe it's just a little moment of your time, maybe a little extra of your money. It might be some talent or just some way that he wants to engage you in a work that is not hard for you. It's just some way he wants to begin to engage you in a work of preaching the gospel. Maybe something that you're already doing. You're already a parent, and he just needs you to focus for a minute on some tender thing he wants you to say to one of your children. A little extra time, or just something. Listen carefully to those little moments in your day when the Lord might need you to do something that isn't difficult. Maybe it's a small act of charity, something. Don't overlook those small daily acts of obedience and of love that the Lord asks of us. Amen? So often, it's the little things that add up to a lot. It's the just doing the little daily duties that get the job done. We're often, you know, beware of the biggie wow projects, you know. Be careful of those. Usually the way the Lord works in our life is through small organic growth, where he builds on the gifts and the talents that we already have. And he's going to call us into deeper waters in a moment. But don't overlook just the simple daily things that don't challenge us much, but just might be that little extra thing that's needed today. So it is, again, small, almost harmless little requests from the Lord. But it's his way of saying, I do need you. Not just in the big things, but I need you in the small, daily things. If you're married, maybe God is saying to you, I want you to tell your spouse today that you love them. They need a word from you. If you're a father or a mother, your kids need encouragement today. Or sometimes they're going to need a particular encouragement. But done with love. And the Lord shows us these moments, just those little things. So I simply leave that with you. I know that it's kind of in soft focus, but for all of us, it's going to vary, isn't it? So stage one is the help that isn't hard, but a help that's still required. But now, having entered, see, the Lord makes use of his boat, and the sermon is finished. Thank you, Peter. We're done for the day. All right, but not quite. Because the Lord wants to take Peter to a deeper level. And having engaged Peter in a small thing and kind of trained him of how precious just those small little acts of obedience or fulfilling the Lord's needs are, he now says to Peter, let's set out now into the deeper water and lower your nets for a catch. So we move from the help that isn't hard to the hesitation that needs to be healed. Now, think about Peter for a moment. You know, Peter's an experienced fisherman. You don't normally fish in the middle of the day, and that's not the good time for catching fish. And he's probably a little tired and discouraged. It's that the text says they've been out all night, caught nothing. And so he's feeling a little discouraged and tired. And the Lord simply says to him, let's just do this. And something in Peter is moved to obey him. And I say obey because the text says that Peter says, Lord, we've been working hard all day, but I tell you what, at your command, I will lower the nets. Now, that word command is in the text, and it's a strong word. You might say, well, maybe why didn't he say at your request or at your wish, but he said at your command. But listen, as the Lord seeks to grow in a relationship with us and engage us in small things, just those little small obediences, the Lord is also trying to engage us in a deeper obedience. Now, we live in a culture that doesn't like to talk about obedience or authority, and we oppose obedience and authority to freedom. If I'm under authority or someone's commanding me, I'm not free. But you know, the reality is often the opposite. Sometimes the fact that we know that God is asking or commanding something of us gives us a kind of a freedom. Think about this morning when the alarm clock rang, and some of you are morning people, and I can't stand you. But the alarm clock rang, and perhaps some of us today hesitated. We said, oh, gosh, you know, and I want to get ready for the game, and I want to do this and that, and I'm tired, and maybe I should just sleep in today. But what brought you here was that you know that it's a command of the Lord to keep holy the Sabbath, And so you didn't have to go lots of extra thinking and weighing and balancing and wondering, what should I do or not do? What's the best thing? It's just a very simple, God commands me to be in church on Sunday, and by gosh, I'm going. And there's a kind of a freedom in that, isn't there? I don't know about you, but in my own life, it's always been, I am a man under authority. I am here at the pleasure of the Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Worrell. But there's a freedom in that, because I know I'm where I need to be. I know what I need to do when I get up in the morning. And there's something freeing about that. And if you're married, and you may be having ups and downs in a marriage, but you know that you rendered a vow to your spouse, and you did that before God, and you know you're where you need to be, even if at times there's tension or difficulties, you know that somehow you're called to work those things out. And there's a kind of a freedom that the law gives us. And so Peter is, somehow he hears in the Lord an urgency or a command. And other things being equal, he says, I'm tired, I'm discouraged, just to heck with it, tomorrow's another day. But he says, but Lord, at your command, I'll do this. And he's free. He just freely does it. So don't overlook the paradox that in commanding us and in seeking to be the Lord of our life, that his command doesn't rob us of freedom, but it actually gives us freedom. It's motivating and helpful to me to know that something's expected of me by God. And that encourages me to get it done, and it makes me freer. I know where my life needs to be focused, and I know where it should not be focused. And I know what I ought to do, and I know what I ought not do. And there's a freedom that comes. Our life is a lot simpler when we're answering to God. Are you praying with me? I know this is a subtle point, but again, remember, we live in a culture that tends to oppose freedom and authority. It tends to oppose freedom and commandments or rules. But really, my brothers and sisters, it's the rules. Well, let's put it in a football image. It's the rules that make the game. It's the rules that make the game fun and exciting. Without rules, everyone's just running around in a field. Nobody knows what anybody's doing. Amen? But you know that there's a goal, you know that there's rules, there's boundaries, and that's what makes the game. And it gives them the freedom to play the game. Otherwise, everyone's always arguing about who's really in charge. And so it is that there's a paradox that commandment and rules give us a kind of a freedom. Now, so again, step one is that the Lord enters into your life and builds trust with you in small matters. Little things that you can do easily. And you start to see that in doing them, you set up a relationship with the Lord, and you start to see how those little things actually mean a lot. And then the Lord says, how about we go a little deeper now? And that's where the Lord starts to go to work. And with a word of command, he says, let's go into some deeper waters. Let's get a little bit outside your comfort zone. Not too far. He's not asking Peter to get into a spaceship and learn how to navigate up in the cosmos. He's still in his fishing boat, doing what he knows how to do, fishing, lowering nets. So he's working with Peter, but helping him to grow and move a little deeper. You see this beautiful, gentle, organic growth and trust is happening in Peter's life? And how about yours? I will say this, that as I've grown in my relationship with the Lord, his commandments now make more sense to me. I've learned in little ways how following what God asks brings me blessings, so that in bigger ways, when God asks bigger things and sometimes more challenging things, like when I was called to be a parochial vicar, I was called to become a pastor, or you step up to the next stage, some of you with careers, or maybe you are ready to step into marriage at long last, or maybe you are ready to begin to do something new in terms of ministry or life or work in the church. But somewhere along the line, the Lord leads you with the small things, so that when the deeper waters and the deeper and the bigger things come, you've learned to trust him and to obey him. And there's a freedom that comes from that relationship and that commandment. So we see how Peter now, the help that isn't hard, that's stage one. Stage two, a hesitation that needs to be healed. And how is it healed? Through obedience and trust. Learn to obey God in smaller ways. See the blessings that come, and you'll learn to obey him in bigger ways where there are larger challenges, where the Lord might ask you. He said there are certain relationships or things that need to end in your life, and it's going to be a little harder now, but you've learned to trust him in little ways, and now you're ready to trust him in bigger ways. So again, the help that isn't hard, the hesitation that must be healed, and then here comes the harvest that's hauled. A little calling and hauling going on here, all right? So we've got here the harvest. As he obeys the Lord, the harvest is amazing. So much so that the boat is almost sinking. Now listen, the Lord gives Peter a particular grace here that he doesn't always give every one of us in every moment. And that is that the, if you will, the results of the obedience are immediately evident to Peter. The fish are just overwhelming in numbers. So there's that immediate gratification. That is not always the case for every one of us. It just isn't. Sometimes we don't see the harvest for many years into the future. Sometimes we don't see it at all. We plant the seeds and someone else harvests. But we do that hard work, that daily work, but sometimes we do experience the harvest. And once again, I just want to witness to you and say that to the degree that in my life I've done the daily work of preaching and teaching, first of all myself, and then all of you, I started to see over the decades an increasing harvest and a beautiful experience of how some of the things that I've had to say to myself finally catch fire, and now they're alive in my life, also in your lives. I have a big internet presence now, and a lot of people write to me and say, wow, you know, that was really helpful. There was some moment of harvest there, and I just rejoice. And I pray that you have those moments too. But there are going to be some times where we're sowing seeds and doing the work, and we don't see the catch of fish. Somebody else does. Don't you ever doubt, though, that the seeds that you sow of God's word and you water them with your tears, they will bear fruit in due season. They will. I've told you this many times before, but my rectory doorbell will ring and someone's been 40 years away from confession. I say, somebody's been praying for you. Yes, they have, Father. And maybe that somebody's even died and gone home. My mother, who prayed for years, and she's not here to see the harvest, but I am, and I pray she sees it from on high. I'm reaping a harvest that somebody else sowed the seeds for. But never forget that there is a harvest. The Lord says the harvest is abundant. Abundant. Oh, how the laborers are few. Would you please help me with this harvest? And so we work and we continue to work. And sometimes we see immediate results. Sometimes we see results that come later. And sometimes we don't see them at all. But God does. How many of you have changed your kids' diapers and the next thing you know you're putting a graduation cap on them and they're marching up an aisle? And there's a moment of satisfaction, amen? You say, well, we still got a ways to go, Father. I got you. It's a lifelong conversation. But years of toil and effort, and you start to see the effects. How many of you sound like your parents? I don't sound at all like my parents. Not, I do. All the things I said, oh, there goes my dad again saying, I'm saying the same stuff today. Like we used to call them dadisms, you know, and I sound just like my father now. And mom would say the same thing. And yet somewhere, all that effort and that work, even though the kids are saying, they're sinking in more than they want to admit. Are you praying with me? Stay in the Lord. Stay in the conversation with this Lord, with the Lord, and allow yourself to begin to experience the harvest that comes from obeying his call to come deeper and to do more and to keep growing in this relationship. Okay, well, we're going to come to the last point, and then I'll wrap it up, which is simply this. We've noticed the help that isn't hard. The Lord starts with little things and helps us to appreciate how in these little things, little obediences, do good things, and we grow in deeper trust, and he takes us a little deeper into some of the bigger decisions and some of the bigger things we have to do in life. And we trust him and we obey him. We get into the deeper waters and we begin to experience an even greater harvest. And there comes finally then not just the harvest that is hauled in, but there is the humility that even it that heightens. And the Lord simply says basically to Peter, come on up higher. Come up higher. Since you've been faithful in a few things, I'll put you in charge of many. Since you have learned obedience in the smaller things and in the mid-range things, I'm going to bring you to an even greater place. I don't think that St. Peter at this moment could have ever imagined that he would have become the head of a universal church that's lasted 2,000 years, that he would be the first pope or the first leader of a church that is now a communion of over a billion Catholics throughout the world, and how many have gone before us, and those who are still to come, that he'd be the first of a long line of successors, and that even a small relic of his bone would be in a church in Washington, D.C. We have his relic right over on the side altar. The Lord knew all of that when he called Peter. He said, Peter, no longer will you be catching fish. You're going to be catching men. I'm going to do great things through you, Peter. And he didn't tell Peter the whole story. It would have scared him. If Peter knew all the things that would transpire, and all the things that would unfold from the simple act of obedience, of lowering his nets. Do you have any idea what your small and large acts of obedience do? You don't. And if God were to try to tell you all the possible good and wonderful things that came, your head would explode. Just trust God. And so Peter falls to his knees and he says, have mercy on me, I'm a sinful man. And the Lord says, because of your obedience and your humility, I will raise you even higher. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that does not esteem obedience or humility. It esteems pride and doing my own thing and me calling the shots. None of that brings in the harvest. What brings in the harvest finally is, Lord, I love you. I've learned to trust you in small ways. And I'm going to trust you in bigger ways. And if you ask me to come into the deeper waters, I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to humbly obey you. And the Lord keeps saying, amen. The deeper the waters, the higher the fruitfulness. The greater the humility, the more I will exalt you. Because you've learned to obey. There's a beauty in obedience and humility that our world discounts. But it's the secret to life. So, my brothers and sisters, I would just ask you to ponder how God works in your life in small, beautiful ways and grows you organically so that you learn to obey and trust in greater matters and greater. And the Lord finally says to all of us, because you have been found faithful in a few things, I will put you in charge of many. Because you have used the smaller gifts I've given you well, I'll put greater gifts at your disposal, and greater things. And you may not always see the harvest, but I do, says the Lord. Now trust me, obey me, and keep working. Even if you feel tired and worn out at times, keep making this journey with me. There are great things that would come from Peter's obedience today, and there are great things that come from your obedience and my obedience. Trust the Lord. I have it on the best of authority that Peter was singing not only the song we sang on the way in, but he was simply singing another gospel song. Lord, I'm available to you. I'm available to you. My storage is empty now, but I'm available to you. I'll do what you want me to. Lord, I'm available to you. And from those simple acts of trust and obedience come great things. Amen. Thank you.